President Obama traveled from the White House to the USDA office here in Washington, D.C. To visit with a number of stakeholders, including a number of ag stakeholders, about the recently concluded negotiations for the Trans-Pacific Partnership. This is the largest multilateral trade agreement of its kind. The 12 countries that are part of this trade agreement represent 40% of the world's economy and are involved with over 40% of American agricultural export activity to date. This is an opportunity for the United States to continue expanding agricultural exports, providing through this agreement a leveler playing field for American producers. This is a very high-value, high-standards agreement that will also allow the United States and member states and nations to counter the Chinese influence in the area, to make sure that everyone is encouraged to step up their game to the higher standards of the TPP. History will tell us that history of free trade agreements with reference to agriculture is that agriculture is a winner every time. And TPP is going to be no exception to that history. This is a 21st century agreement. It contains an elimination or reduction of a series of tariffs or taxes that have been assessed by other countries on American agricultural products, a broad range of products, beef, pork, poultry, dairy, horticulture, rice, grain, soybeans, wheat, cotton, a number of processed products, alcohol and wine. Bottom line is virtually every commodity group will see tariff eliminations and or reductions and or expanded preferential access for American agricultural products. Agreement also contains, where appropriate, safeguards to protect their own markets from other countries basically dumping product into the U.S. One of the areas that I was most interested in connection with this agreement has to do with the focus on sanitary and phytosanitary barriers that have been erected from time to time to American agricultural products that were not risk-based or science-based. This agreement, the TPP agreement, will give us now an additional opportunity to raise questions about SPS rules that are not risk-based and not science-based, and a process by which we can contest such barriers and interference with a free market and free trade. This agreement includes historic inclusion of biotechnology in an annex discussing the acknowledgement by the member countries that they'll use science-based determinations relative to biotechnology and to promote greater transparency in the regulatory process involving biotechnology, and also will engage in discussions about the appropriate levels of low-level presence. This agreement also includes a significant nod to organic agriculture and the desire on the part of member countries to be engaged in discussions about equivalencies so that we can reduce the friction that may occur, the barriers that may occur to organic exports. Also, specifically for the dairy industry in particular, this agreement does discuss the issue of geographic indications and provisions, providing for a due process in which unreasonable or overly broad geographic indications can be contested and questioned before they become enacted. A number of ag groups have already come out in support for the Trans-Pacific Partnership. The next step in the process will be, within the next 30 days or so, the final text of the agreement, which is being worked on as we speak, will be published and available for all to read. There will obviously be a process by which stakeholders, members of Congress, and the general public will be provided information about the specifics of the agreement. But I think it's fair to say that agriculture is a winner in this agreement, and we're going to do everything we can to make sure that folks understand the historic nature and historic opportunity this presents. And I think it does indeed reflect a high standard agreement in areas that previously have not been part of trade agreements, including specific labor and environment standards with enforcement provisions, all of which I think play to the benefit of U.S. producers, U.S. companies. We're the innovators. We're the folks who have raised the standards and raised the bar. And now we're simply asking the member countries of the TPP to join us in raising the standards and the bar. And we know that there are going to be other countries in the region that are going to be interested in joining TPP. They, too, will have to raise their games as well. The final note is that this is an area of the world that is fast-growing, rapidly expanding middle class, and offers a great market opportunity for American agricultural products, which are high value, affordable, safe, and high quality. So I think we'll continue to work to educate folks about the impact of this. Today, a fact sheet is going out from USDA that discusses generally the benefits of this agreement for agriculture. Today, it is my hope that we also publish at least a number of state-by-state calculations of the benefits of TPP for individual states that are heavily engaged in and involved with agriculture. So big day, good day for agriculture, and certainly appreciated the agricultural leaders who were here at the White House today to greet the president and to offer their support. Susan, with that, I'd be happy to try to answer questions. I'll do the best I can in terms of the details as I know them.
All righty, Mr. Secretary, well, there are a number of reporters that are on the line. Let's just start off with Adam Basudi. He is with Politico. Adam.
Hi, Secretary. Thanks for taking the call. I just had a question about access that producers will have into Canada. Can you explain in any detail what Canada agreed to in terms of openings of its supply managed sectors? Will U.S. dairy producers have any substantial access into that market as a result of this deal?
There's commitment on the part of the Canadians, which was obviously negotiated in good faith, in which we will see expanded access in both Canada and Japan to some of our dairy products. Over the course of the next 10 years, between Canada and Japan, which are the two areas that we focused on, when you look at the entirety of products that are potentially available, there's going to be additional access, particularly in cheese, and in whole milk powder, in skim milk powder, in fluid milk, additional access. And the second point I would make is that this is also an opportunity for the U.S. to access the sort of the new product market. We're seeing obviously expanded activity in yogurt, and we will see additional expansion of yogurt sales in Canada as a result of this agreement. And I think it's a value-added proposition that the U.S. has always been good in, and as this agreement is going to spur more innovation in those types of products over the course of the next decade or so. And I would also point out that my memory is that when we entered into a free trade agreement with Australia, there was concern about the possibility of dairy basically not having much access to the Australian market. But because of the extraordinary work of dairy producers and dairy processors in this country, we actually did access that market in a very significant way, saw tremendous growth in that export market. And I expect because of the innovation, the efficiency, the quality, and productivity of what's being produced here, I think not only are we going to see additional access along the traditional lines I mentioned, but also in these new products.
Up next, Mr. Secretary, we have Matt Weaver with the Capital Press. Matt.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Vilsack, for your time. Why the 30-day delay to see the final text? Why not make that available now, and what changes might we see over those next 30 days?
There's a process that is underway as we speak in Atlanta, where lawyers are sitting down basically what is called scrubbing the text, making sure that it's accurate, making sure that it's that it appropriately expresses the agreements that have been reached by the ministers, ambassadors, the trade ambassadors. That process in the past has taken some time. Will actually be done more quickly this time because we started the process months ago, knowing full well that people would be interested in seeing the text as quickly as possible. In the meantime, these fact sheets will be provided. The USTR's office will also be putting out fact sheets and other aspects of the economy to give people a general sense of what's in the agreement. And I think the 30-day time period in comparison to other deals is fairly quick. We know there is a process in which we have to give Congress time under the TPA, under the Trade Promotion Authority, and we obviously want to move this along so that folks get the information that they need to be able to determine how they feel about this.
Up next, we have Jeff Nally with AgriPulse. Jeff.
Secretary, thanks for your time. Senator McConnell, the majority leader, had suggested that as the GOP did support trade promotion authority for the president, should not be construed as a guaranteed vote for the TPP. How do you eliminate the polarity of this, and especially for those who wanted to see monetary policy, environmental regulations, and labor to be a part of it? What's your task ahead?
Jeff, I'd point out that there are indeed, for the first time ever, labor and environmental standards that have enforcement provisions. And I think it's important for folks to recognize that. It's also important to recognize that members of this coalition of the Trans-Pacific Partnership include communist countries like Vietnam. So it's no easy lift, if you will, to get labor and environment standards that are enforceable with a member of the TPP that's a communist country. So I think there needs to be an acknowledgement that this is historic in that sense. And it also, I think, reflects the president's commitment to improve on NAFTA, since Canada and Mexico are also parties to this agreement. So I think, number one, it's very important to point out that there are indeed responses and reactions to those who want higher standards in trade agreements, and I think that this is indeed a higher standards agreement and a high standards agreement. Secondly, I think it's going to be incumbent on all of us to make sure that there's a full and complete and accurate understanding of the benefits that will accrue under this agreement. Many members of Congress and many senators come from states, for example, that are beef producers. They need to know that the Japanese market, which is an extraordinarily large market opportunity for us in terms of beef, will see 74% of the tariff lines or taxes that have been assessed by the Japanese on beef and beef products will be eliminated or cut over the next 16 years. They may be from states that are heavy pork producers. My home state of Iowa, for example, North Carolina, they'll need to know that the tariffs, 65% of tariffs on pork, will be eliminated in Japan in 11 years or less, nearly 80% in 16 years or less, and that market opportunity is going to open not only in Japan but also in Malaysia and Vietnam, where all tariffs are going to be reduced and eliminated. If you're from a state like California, and you're interested in not just beef and pork, you're interested in cherries or citrus or grapes or avocados or strawberries, you need to know that tariffs are eliminated in a multitude of horticultural products, from fresh apples to cherries to pears to citrus fruits and juices to grapes to avocados to strawberries to blueberries to cranberries, watermelon, papaya, potato products, processed fruit products, tree nuts, and fresh and processed vegetables. And when you understand that these taxes or tariffs are being eliminated or reduced on these products, which makes those products far more competitive in a global market with the USA brand and with the USA safety and quality and affordability, you know your market opportunities are going to be expanded across the board. And when you see other countries like the Philippines and who are potentially interested in being Indonesia, potentially being the next set of countries to participate in TPP, you see that there's just enormous opportunity here. So I think long answer to your question, but I think it's key and critical for us to make sure that the full and complete understanding of the benefits of this agreement are well understood and appreciated by those in Congress. And I think if they are, and they are concerned and interested in agriculture, they're going to see that this is a net benefit for agriculture.
Our next call comes from Chris Clayton with DTN.
Good afternoon, Secretary. I understand the focus on the benefits, but did have a reader ask me to ask you, how do you see the gains in tariff reductions outweighing what might be perceived as the potential of currency manipulation? How do you address that issue that apparently was not really taken up much in the deal?
Well, currency manipulation, number one, historically has not been part of trade discussions and negotiations, number one. Number two, there are mechanisms and processes by which issues involving current manipulation can and have been handled, and in fact, we're seeing those mechanisms being utilized by the Treasury Department and others to call out manipulation if they see it. I will tell you that from an agricultural perspective, the bottom line is pretty clear here. We're going to sell more American agricultural products across the board. We're going to sell it to an incredibly expanding and rapidly expanding middle class. And American producers and those whose jobs are connected to exports of American agricultural products are going to benefit from this agreement. And I'm sure that as Jack Lew and his team at Treasury continue to focus on making sure currencies are not manipulated, that they will use the forums that are available today for those discussions, which should not detract from the benefits of reducing the taxes on over 18,000 different items that are produced, made, and provided in the U.S. Over 18,000 tariffs or taxes are going to be reduced under this agreement. And since America is a place where our tariffs on agricultural products are already extremely low, the fact that we're seeing historic reductions by these other countries, I think, should indicate that this is a net winner for agriculture.
From Congressional Roll or Congressional Quarterly's roll call, we have Ellen Ferguson. Ellen.
One of the things that seems to have some members of Congress concerned is the carve-out on tobacco. They argue that this could set a precedent for future trade agreements in which it would not, in which it would not be tobacco that's singled out, but some other commodity or perhaps focus on biotech and things like that. So how do you reassure the agriculture community that the tobacco carve-out is not a bad thing?
Well, a couple of responses to that, Ellen. Number one, I want to make sure that producers of tobacco understand that tariffs are being eliminated on tobacco in Japan, Malaysia, and Vietnam. And so in terms of American farmers and their ability to export, that's not being impacted by in terms of tariffs. Those are going to be eliminated, so that levels the playing field. Secondly, it's difficult for the United States to suggest that we can have public health laws on the books and that we don't respect the ability of other countries to have similar public health rules and regulations and laws on the books, which is essentially what the tobacco carve-out does. It essentially recognizes what is obvious, which is that the U.S. has public health issues, and other countries obviously have the ability to do that. It is very, very narrowly drafted and crafted so that it impacts only only tobacco. And number three, if people are concerned about biotechnology, then they ought to be reassured by the fact that for the first time in the history of a trade agreement, there is reference to biotechnology as it relates to countries being willing to discuss and look at low-level presence, countries willing to commit to developing regulatory systems that are risk-based and science-based, and that they won't construct non-scientific, non-risk-based barriers. So that should be reassuring to all that this is a very narrow construct involving one product where a number of countries have already taken public health steps, and it's just a reflection of that reality.
Okay, let's go to Catherine Boudreau with Bloomberg BNA.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Mr. Vilsack, I was hoping you could talk about what the U.S. did about dairy access, access to our market, and then, you know, I guess what the strategy was behind that, maybe ensuring that we kind of got the same access, direct access we got to New Zealand, for example, to Canada. And then maybe you could also talk about the strategy to move this forward, maybe what President Obama's strategy is to move it forward.
Well, look, trade agreements are obviously negotiated, and it is important for folks to recognize that not any single party to a trade agreement gets everything they want, that it is give and take. And in the dairy industry in particular, to the extent that markets were opened a bit to New Zealand, then markets were also open to U.S. product in Canada and Japan. And the goal here was to try to, over the next 10 years or more, to make sure that there was not a disproportionate opening up of our market without a disproportionate opportunity to access markets that have been closed in the past. And I think the agreement, when you take a look at all of the different products that are involved, and you take a look at the gains and losses within each product, and you take a look at the innovation and new product opportunities that exist, and you consider and factor into the equation the opportunity that Vietnam and Malaysia, albeit significantly smaller now than a Canada or Japan, but could potentially be assisting our dairy producers. On balance, I think we're going to be okay. Then when you look at the history of all of this, which is where in the past where folks thought dairy was not going to be particularly benefited by an agreement like the Australian Free Trade Agreement, our dairy producers stepped up, our dairy industry innovated, our dairy industry became more productive, they came up with new products, and I have no doubt that that's going to continue to be the trend and the direction of our industry. I believe we've got the best dairy producers in the world. I think we have some very innovative processors, and I think, for example, yogurt is an area that folks hadn't thought about too much in terms of opportunities, but I think it does create a significant opportunity in the future. As far as the strategy, I think you let the president speak for himself and let the White House lay that out. What we're going to do at USDA is to make sure that folks who have agricultural interests are fully and completely aware of the impact of this agreement on their respective states and on the commodities that matter to them, and be able to be available to respond to questions and to any concerns that they might have. That's why we're putting out the state-by-state fact sheets hopefully later today.
With that, Mr. Secretary, any closing remarks on TPP?
Well, again, I think I'm excited about the opportunity to continue to educate folks about the benefits of this. I think there's no question that agriculture, in a very comprehensive and significant and historic way, is going to be a winner with TPP, and I think the American economy is going to benefit. It has been estimated that this agreement could potentially increase total exports from the U.S. by $130 billion, and if that's true, and agriculture takes its share of exports as it historically has, roughly 9%, we're looking at billions of dollars of additional opportunity. That's going to support not just our producers and our farmers and our ranchers, but also the folks who are employed, whose jobs are connected to agricultural exports. And we will, I think, continue to see the strong export activity we've seen the last 5 or 6 years, which has been at historic levels. So we're going to continue to work hard to make sure folks understand the details and get out as much information as we can. as quickly and as accurately as we can so folks can judge for themselves.
Mr. Secretary, thank you, and thank you everyone for being on the call, and that concludes the call for now.